Welcome, Grace Community Church family, and those who are not part of our church but are still listening online. I'm glad you have joined us this morning, this afternoon, whenever you are listening. The new CDC guidelines seem to be limiting social interaction of groups of 10 or more throughout the month of April. So this is our third online message during the COVID-19 pandemic that is going on. And it's been interesting for me to observe kind of our culture and what is going on as we go through this time. And especially as we are approaching Passion Week, Holy Week in the church, a time where normally we spend more time as a body together and just focusing with one another, celebrating next Sunday our Lord's resurrection, but things will be a little bit different. And I've been thinking about this in light of a passage we're going to be looking at today, and just what is the normal response of people when things begin to get tough and dicey and people expect them to get even worse? As we experience things like this, I think our tendency is to kind of turn inward and focus more just in terms of security and safety on our needs. You know, we've seen that show up during the COVID-19 crisis with the hoarding of toilet paper, with people buying, you know, thousands of jars of hand sanitizer and then reselling them at a 5,000% markup on eBay, thermometers being stocked up by those that don't really need them, and just this sense of, okay, I've got to protect myself and be thinking primarily about myself at this time. And as we look at this last week of Christ's life on earth before the resurrection, it's just such a huge contrast to see how he entered into this week, knowing that things were going to get more and more difficult, knowing what was awaiting him, yet despite all that, not turning inward, but actually turning outward and focusing more and more on those around him. We see even this as he hung on the cross, looking at John and saying, hey, this is my mother, take care of her. So even in the midst of his passion, thinking about the earthly care of his human mother, Jesus knew that his hour had arrived. In John 12:23, we see that prior to this point in time in the Gospels, Jesus was very clear that it was not yet his hour. But when he talks about his hour, he's talking about that time where he is ultimately going to give his life in sacrifice on the cross for the sins of humanity. And again, as that time was approaching, Jesus did not turn inward. In fact, he turned outward. But at that same time, especially as we see when the disciples gather to celebrate the Passover, instead of focusing outward, they're focused more and more on themselves. In Luke 22, verse 24, we see that the disciples are arguing amongst themselves who is going to be the greatest. Imagine that. Jesus knows he's ultimately going to give his life in response to our sin, our need. He did not grasp equality with God. He did not exploit that position, but he used that position, in essence, to serve and to love these guys. These were his future leaders in his church, and they are still thinking very much of his kingdom as an earthly kingdom, and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. The Sunday that we are presenting this message for is the Sunday that we celebrate the triumphal entry, or it's Palm Sunday, of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, and all the expectation that the King is here, the anointed Messiah, the one that was going to come, and their expectations were that he was going to throw off Roman authority, and he was going to establish his kingdom and the dominance of Israel once again. But that expectation soon passed, and the group that was exalting and praising him as the coming king, just a few days later, many were shouting, "Crucify him." And in the midst of all of this, the disciples are still very much focused on themselves. And Jesus knows these are the leaders of my church. These are the ones that are going to be laying the foundation of the church for the centuries to come. And he has to wake them up in one way or shape or form to the reality of their need for change and how they look especially at leadership and using that leadership. So I want to read a passage in John 13, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him and why he had said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now, before it take place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." So this is a reading of the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. And before we talk a little bit about that, let's go to the Lord. Father, we come to you in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic once again. We are aware of just how fragile life is. But Lord, we come to you, the King and sovereign ruler over all. Lord, we know you hold all things in your hands, and Lord, we know that you can even use what is evil for your good purposes. So we pray that even in the midst of this crisis, we would know your peace that passes understanding, and that we would be instruments of your peace in the lives of others. Lord, open our eyes now to understand the truth of your word, not so that we grow in our intellectual comprehension, but so that we grow in our tangible expression of love one for another. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We just ask that your Spirit would illuminate us, that you would open our eyes to the truth, and then by your Spirit, you would give us the ability to apply these things in our life. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have the disciples gathered here, and they're going to celebrate the Last Supper. The Lord is speaking with them, and in John, this whole 13 through 17 section deals with this last communication to his followers, wanting them to know certain things and praying to the Father that he would kind of shape and mold these guys. Jesus knew he was going to be leaving them. And as he looked at these men, I'm sure as he looks at us sometimes, he recognizes we've got a long way to go. And sometimes as people, we can hear words and they just seem to bounce off our craniums. Sometimes actions speak much louder than even the words of our Lord. And at this point in time, I think Jesus is wanting to do something that is really going to kind of shake their understanding, especially of what it means to be a leader, what it means to be one that is given a responsibility over others. And so he does something that would be incredibly shocking for his disciples. Washing a person's feet in that culture was a job reserved for only the lowest of slaves. It was a culture in which you walked around and there were animals and you had sandals on, so you can just imagine what you're walking through. And then as you would come into a home, there would be someone who, usually the lowest of the lowly servants there, who would wash kind of the dirt of the life of the world off those feet before you came into that house. And as the disciples gathered, no one had done that. And so Jesus, after gathering the disciples together, they're reclining at table, and if you've seen pictures of kind of the Last Supper, they may be accurate, they may not be accurate, but usually they would recline kind of on pillows and lie down with their heads facing the table and their feet being outside of the table. And so as they did that, Jesus, all of a sudden, he takes off his outer garment, he strips down to his skivvies, basically, puts a towel around his waist, fills up a basin with water, and then begins to approach the disciples. And I'm sure you could probably hear a pin drop in that room when Jesus was doing that. And he approaches Peter, and Peter, typically the kind of loudest mouth of the group, says, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Literally, "You, my feet, are going to wash?" And Peter is just shocked at this. Probably all the rest of the disciples were shocked too. This was the one that he recognized was the Messiah, the coming king. And all of a sudden, Jesus is lowering himself. This is well below his dignity. Peter is expecting this king to come and establish his throne on earth and rule and reign. And here Jesus is taking the place of the lowliest of servants. And he says, "You, my feet?" Basically, he says, "No way. You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." And then Simon Peter flips to the other direction. He says, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head." So Jesus says to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." In John 15:3, Jesus says, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you." So Jesus there lets the disciples know that they are clean because of the word of who he is, and the message of his kingdom had been proclaimed, and these disciples had believed that, except for Judas. And Jesus says, "Because of that, you've been clean." And Jesus says, "The one who has been bathed does not need to wash except for his feet." They would not take a bath every day. They had been bathed, but as they walked through life, their feet would get especially dirty. And that, to me, is a picture of the reality of when we come to Christ, when we trust in him, we have been cleansed, we are acceptable and clean before God. But as we walk through this broken and dirty world, we pick up some of that world. And so the need is not for total cleansing anymore, but the need is for the dirt that we pick up to be dealt with. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we walk as his people through this world, we will get dirty. And there is a need for this foot washing, as it were. But the reality is that Peter was already clean. And so Jesus, he goes around and he washes the feet of all the disciples. Jesus says, not all of you are clean here. But the reality is, Jesus even washed Judas' feet, knowing what he was about to do. In verse 22, when Jesus is talking with the disciples more, he says, after saying these things, this is verse 21, Jesus was troubled in the spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. So the reality is, as the disciples were together, even when Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, he did not treat him any differently. He loved even Judas to the very end. How would you treat someone who you knew was about to stab you in the back? Who you knew had been taking a little bit off the till of your business for his own personal use? It seems to me, since none of the other disciples knew who it was that was going to betray him, Jesus had not treated Judas any differently than all of the other disciples. That is truly amazing love. Love that is gracious and giving and sacrificial right to the very end. Love that does not give up on somebody, even despite their hostile and aggressive, soon to be aggressive activity against him. So Jesus washes all of their feet, probably puts the bowl down, puts his outer garments on again, and reclines at the table again. And then we pick up the story in verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? It's an interesting question. Back in verse 7, Jesus talking to Peter says, Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand. So to me, this lets us know that Jesus washing their feet was not just a religious ritual that he is trying to institute for his church. They understood what Jesus had done in that physical sense. He had just washed their feet. He had just taken the role of the lowliest of servants in doing that. But I think what Jesus is getting at is, do you understand the significance of what I have done for you? He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. I am teacher. I am Lord. I am the master. So I'm trying to get you all to understand something that is super important if you are going to lead my church in the way that is going to honor and bring glory to me. He's saying, do you understand, do you grasp the significance of what I've done? That greatness, it's not evidenced by position and power and lording it over others, but by loving, humble, sacrificial service. There's only one place where Jesus describes his kind of inner character, and it's in Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. He says there, I am gentle and humble in heart. To me, this is a phenomenal illustration of that amazing, what's thought of as an early hymn in Philippians 2, where we're to have the same attitude that our Lord had, that though he was equal with God, he did not grasp onto that. He did not, another way to translate, he did not exploit that for his benefit. The disciples are still, after 3 years of Jesus being with them, still thinking about themselves, still thinking who is going to be the greatest. They're still thinking in a very worldly, earthly way about what it means to be part of God's kingdom. And so Jesus does this amazing act that humbles him below kind of the lowest of the low. And the disciples are shocked by it. And Jesus says, do you understand what I've just done? I've given you an example to follow. And I don't think he's specifically meaning that we need to physically wash our brothers and sisters' feet. That's fine if that's what you want to do, but I don't think that's the main point here. The point is, am I willing, as I interact with people, to love in a sacrificial way? To be willing to take the lowest place? To be willing to serve and to give, not to want to be served and to get? Jesus says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. In verse 17. Most of us are very familiar with this story. We've heard it before. But I think Jesus' question to disciples comes to us as his disciples as well. Do you understand what I've done to you? Has it really penetrated into your heart? Has it impacted how you act when you're in the store? And there's a limited supply of whatever you're looking for? Do you want to be first in line to be tested? Are you willing to limit your social interaction with others at this point in time, even though it's something that you really want because you don't want to harm them? You're concerned more for their safety than your own comfort and your own desires at this point in time? How do we get to that place where, like Jesus, we don't view whatever resources or power or authority the Lord has given us as things to grasp and hold on to, but are willing, as his followers, to love and to serve others in a sacrificial way? I think we see this back in verse 3 of chapter 13. It says, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus knew who he was. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. Yes, this next week was going to be incredibly agonizing for him. He realized what was to come. He cried out, Father, if it's possible, take this cup. But then he ended with, not my will, but yours be done. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus recognized that regardless of how difficult this next brief time was going to be, that his future was secure. His inheritance was all of us as his followers. And it was going to be certain. Nothing would stop the will of the Father from being done. Yes, he would have to go through the cross, but he knew he was going to be raised from the dead, and he knew because of that he was going to bring many sons and daughters along with himself into his kingdom. The New Testament lets us know that we are co-heirs with Christ. If the Father has given all things into Jesus' hands and we are co-heirs with him, we too can walk through this life not having to grab on to everything. As we look at what this COVID-19 crisis has done, it has shaken kind of the foundations of so many things that people are grasping on to for a sense of significance and value and security and peace and worth. If my significance is tied up in my job, in the income that I earn, if it's tied up in the security that I feel because of the size of my investment accounts, if it's tied up with my being fit and healthy and thinking that I will be forever young, then this COVID-19 pandemic is kind of shaken all of that. And you know what? That can be a very good thing spiritually for us. For the worst thing that we can do is to look for our value and significance and worth in those things that ultimately will leave us sorely disappointed. All of us, regardless of whether we make it through this COVID-19 crisis or not, will die. None of us are eternal. No matter how much kale or spinach smoothies you may drink, the reality is none of us are eternal. We will all die. So whatever we have hoped in this world will ultimately disappoint us. But if our hope is in our relationship with God, if our hope and our security is in Jesus Christ, that we know that not even death can remove us from his love, that if we know him, we have eternal life right now. That's what John 17:3 says a little bit later in this passage. In John 14, as we're looking at this section, Jesus says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God," or trust in God, "trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Believers, our security is completely wrapped up in Jesus and what he has done for us. Nothing can shake that foundation. So many of us, and so much of what we do, is a cry for validation. It's, look at me, am I significant, am I valuable, or I'm looking at my stuff, this is what's going to provide me with security and worth and value. And when we do that, when that stuff is threatened, our tendency is to go all inward, to grasp onto that, to try and hold on to that. But if our security and our significance and value is in Jesus Christ and what awaits us in the future, then we can hold loosely to the stuff we have. We can serve and we can love for the benefit of others. We won't be arguing, even if we don't do it verbally with others, who's the greatest. We will be willing to take the position of the most lowly and to serve humbly our brothers and sisters. As we close this time together, we're going to do something unusual. These are unusual times. We've never done this before, but we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper online. So you can stop the podcast right now and just find some bread, some juice, or wine, and then we're going to partake together in a virtual manner. So you can just stop it now, and then we can come together when you got your stuff and you can restart it. Okay, as we celebrate the Lord's table together, it's a time to remember in a really profound way the ultimate extent to which Jesus went to show his love for us. As we look at this Easter week that's ahead of us, it's a time to remember especially what Jesus has done for us, that he was willing not to grasp onto his equality with God, but humbled himself and took the form of a human being and was humbled even to the point of death on a cross. And he died that death so that we could have life. Scriptures tell us there that he bore our sins, the penalty that we deserved, he paid as he died in our place. As we celebrate the table together, it's a time where Scripture says we're to examine ourselves. As you look at how this COVID-19 crisis is impacting you, maybe that's a cause for self-examination. Do you find yourself more focused on yourself and your needs and making it through, and less focused on other people and their needs? Do you find yourself hoarding or helping, grabbing or giving? As we looked at this kind of enacted parable almost that Jesus gives of washing his disciples' feet and wanting them to understand that lesson, how would you respond to Jesus' question? Do you understand what I have done for you? So just spend some time now in quiet reflection before the Lord, asking him, as David asks in Psalm 139, to search him and to know him and to point out any evil or wicked or way in him that is not healthy and good. So just spend some time doing that now. You can pause the podcast. As you've done that, now is the time where we can partake together. Jesus said, taking the bread, breaking the bread, this is my body, broken for you. Let's eat in remembrance of what he has done. Then Jesus took the cup, a symbol of his blood that, as we look at this Easter week and at this story, was about to be poured out for all of these knuckleheaded disciples. Despite their failure to grasp and understand, he loved them, and he loved them to the very end, giving his life so that all of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ could have life. So as you take whatever you're going to drink in remembrance of him right now, whether that's wine or juice or whatever it may be, drink that, remembering that he has given you life through his shed blood on the cross. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your incredible gift, the gift of sending your one and only unique Son. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your willingness to come and love people like us, people that fight over toilet paper and clamor to be the greatest. Lord, thank you that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, as we walk through this world, we recognize that sometimes we get dirty and we need your cleansing. So we come once again, Lord, we confess how easy it is, especially in these times when the foundations are shaking, to focus in on ourselves. Yet, Lord, help us to understand what you did here. In a time where you deserved the care and the attention and the love of your disciples, they were so focused on their own wants and desires, yet you loved them to the very end. So, Lord, help us to respond to that love in a way that understands our acceptance with you, that, Lord, you have paid the price, that, Lord Jesus, we are your brothers and sisters, and you're not ashamed to call us that, the author of Hebrews says. Lord, we can come into your presence with boldness and confidence. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us first. And we ask now, as we seek to live as your people in the midst of this pandemic, that you would turn our eyes off of ourselves and you would turn them towards others that have needs, that we would understand what you have done for us. And disrobing and tying a towel around your waist and filling a basin and in washing and wiping the feet of your disciples. Lord, we don't deserve it, but that is the kind of love you have for us. Help us to know that and be secure in that. And knowing and having been made secure in that, Lord, help us to love without any limitations, with the strength that you give us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.